Welcome back. Everything looks like it's still working in the audio anyway, but I guess YouTube changed everything, and for some reason I don't know how to stream on YouTube anymore. I had it all set up like I usually do, and it just plain doesn't work, and YouTube says I'm not streaming, but my studio program says that I am. So anyway, it's recording, so everyone gets to watch the video after I send it up and what happens there. Weird. They made things easier over there. I like it when they fix things so that they don't work anymore. Yeah, I like that. How about you? Please. You know, they keep changing it. They don't make it better. You know, the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Please. Please don't fix it. Some people just like to change things for the sake of change. Even if they have to make it more difficult. We just think it's cooler this way or something. I don't get it. That's the way of the world. I guess they're getting paid. They have to justify their salaries. Like, we're changing things. Not always for the better, but hey, we are changing things. Okay, well, enough of that. I'm just going to assume that the video is not even all of the things I was going to show. I'm glad I decided not because of my audio problems. Okay. Anyway. Happy holidays, everyone. Happy holy days. May every day of your life be holy unto Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Yes, may it all be holy unto him. Because if it isn't, then you got nothing anyway. I mean, if you only have holy days a few days out of the year, well, those are for you, but not for him, okay? It's not really Jesus' birthday. It might be yours, but it's not his. Otherwise, you'd be giving presents to him. But I can't find that in the Bible anywhere. Everybody, it's mandatory. No, I think that was the Antichrist who wants you to celebrate his birthday. Yeah, he says, go ahead, give everyone you love presents, not me. Well, of course, the Antichrist wants all your money too. I'm sure of it. Quite sure of it. Okay, maybe we ought to think about, is there anything intelligent we can talk about on this holy day? Corporate says, yes. A reminder that every day is holy. My grandchildren were over this weekend, and I said something about holy days instead of holidays. He expected to hear of holidays, but he said, never made the connection before that holidays were holy days. And, you know, people call it a holiday because they didn't have to work. Gonna have holiday. And so they just adopted the word, and now it has no connection to anything holy whatsoever. For the world, that is. And like I said, so I explained to them that I'm not a Catholic, and I don't celebrate Mass of any kind. It doesn't matter what you put in front of it, I'm still not doing Mass. So, because I was, we even went to the local Baptist church on Sunday, and the pastor said, he made a remark about, you know, it's okay to say Merry Christmas or something. Don't be afraid to say whatever. Just a small remark on it. This is a popular thing that people are throwing out there. So he fell into that. And he, as opposed to Happy Holidays. And I go, well, I would rather say Happy Holy Days, you know, all the time than Merry Christmas because I don't do Mass. And I could go, Merry Christ? That doesn't even make sense. Why is it Merry, you know? Why are we wishing people a Merry Christ Mass? And how is that better than Happy Holy Days, you know? I'd rather have happy holidays every day of the year than one Merry Christ Mass one day a year. But anyway, I know what people think. I'm a big Scrooge, and you know, I would deprive children of gifts and candy several days out of the year. Well, 3 days out of the year, because there's 3 high holy days where children get gifts and candy, and that is pagan Easter celebration, and then they have the pagan Halloween celebration, and then they have the pagan death of the sun, death and rebirth of the sun celebration, where they bribe children with gifts and candy, and then the parents have to go, oh golly, you know, I did that one and I love that so much. And, you know, what child doesn't love getting gifts and candy? But you know what? Just break out every so often and give your children gifts and candy. You know, I do. I don't want to deprive them. You know? That's my daughter. She gets gifts and candy, you know, and I like to celebrate. I mean, you know, gifts and candy just at the spur of the moment. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the birth and death of the sun on the winter equinox or with a made-up Jesus birthday, you know. You can give gifts and candy all the time. You know, not too much, you know. Just, you know, surprise people. You know, Christmas is not a surprise. You know, we could act like it is. But anyway, don't want to deprive each other. I get it. I get it. So if you want to put up trees and go through all those motions, well, you don't need my permission, okay? And I'm not giving it to you anyway, because what do I have to do with it? Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I haven't even celebrated my own birthday in 25 years. You know, because I look at it this way. Another way I look at it is, you know, everything I'm after is not in this life. It's not on this side of the grave. I mean, this life is a ghetto compared with the riches that God has in store for us. So I'm not going to fix my eyes on Christmas or Easter or a better house or more money and whatever the riches and fame and all this stuff that this life has to offer, because this ain't it. You know, yeah, I use bad English there. If you consider it, this ain't it. This life isn't it. It is not it. Our eye is supposed to be fixed on the prize. This little short temporal existence of, you know, 100 years, if you're really, really, really lucky, or 60, 70, 105, or 110, or even 115 years, whatever. It's nothing compared to eternity. You know, I mean, first we get a warm up to eternity. We get 1,000 years to rule and reign during the last millennium, the Sabbath millennium here on earth. That's just going to be a warm up. Okay. To what's coming in the new heaven and new earth. You know, we have a purpose for that. And I've been talking a lot about the millennium and the difference between amillennial and premillennial. And I'm writing my book. I'm moving. I'm getting along. I want to thank everyone for their prayers that have been praying for me. It's working. I'm making a lot of headway on the Killiest section of the book. The first one is sort of a historicist apology, and the second part is a Killiest apology, and so I'm making good headway, and I mean, I think it's groundbreaking as far as the Killiest apology part, and you know, perhaps, and I'm trying to do it a little more down to earth, so that more people can grasp it easier. I mean, it's really, if the ordinary person can't grasp it, then, you know, and only the scholars, because I've been reading some scholarly stuff and I really enjoy it. And a lot of it's very good, even from the amillennials. And I really have a lot of respect for a lot of these guys because, you know, I recognize that they're part of God's elect. They just don't see it, or they, you know, they really don't have the time. I mean, I've spent, what now, 15 years devoting a good part of every week, hours upon hours of study and research into prophecy since 2005. You all know it. You've been here with me on this journey, and I'm still here. So, and I, you know, if I have to take another year writing this book, I'm hoping I can get it done sometime soon next year, but I think I should be able to do it. But I'm really, really making some headway on it right now. So thank you all. Let's see, Antiquity in the chat room. Do we sigh and cry over the lie of Christ Mass? Do you have the mark of the beast? Well, those things, you know, if you worship Mary, that's a mark of the beast. If you pray to saints, that's a mark of the beast. If you venerate the Holy Father over there in Rome, that's a mark of the beast. You know, if you participate in transubstantiation, that's a mark of the beast. Those are all marks of the beast. You know, marks of the beast with the papal head over it. Okay? And that's where we're at today, and you know, in the past. And so what are the marks of the elect of God? You know, we live by faith, we walk by faith, we have the fruit of the Spirit exhibited in our life. And of course there are physical marks of the beast too. And like I said, you could wear a rosary, and that would be a physical mark of the beast. You could have, you know, tattoos or whatever, worshiping things that, you know, that are anti-Christ. Those would be marks of the beast. Anything where you give your allegiance to the Antichrist or any of his beast governments out there, people who have a license to marry, you know, against God's law, that's a mark of the beast. Sorry, all those things are marks of the beast. And of course, then we get down to that monetary mark that we see there in Revelation 13, where that's, they're going to force everyone. Now, we've seen in the past when the Antichrist ruled the world for 1260 years, he did by force, you know, make people worship him, and he would catch what he called heretics, because heretics were heretics against the Antichrist, you know, which means you worship the true Christ. You put the word of God above the word of the papacy, you know, so they would kill you for that, or they would run an inquisition down on you. And if you did recant, then they would kill you in the state of your recantation, saying that they were saving your soul by killing you. That way you could not, you know, recant of your recantation, you know. So they would kill you even if you recanted. That's the way the Antichrist worked for 1260 years. I mean, he wiped out entire communities, and, you know, so he killed his hundreds of millions, you know. And you'll see, you know, all these mass murderers, they all have one thing in common. They work for the Antichrist and his shadow government. You know, you can go from Hitler to Stalin to Pol Pot to the very Antichrist in the Inquisitions that he ran down for many, many years. You know, all of the murders of World War II, Antichrist did them. That's right. Those were his wars. Those were the machinations of his shadow government. And he would love to do that to America right now. He would like to, you know, to bring about World War III just so that he can have more control. He wants to totally wipe out any vestige of liberty, you know, of our Protestant liberties. He wants to wipe them out completely. He hates, you know, the fact that you have free speech, that you have freedom of religion. The Antichrist hates that. The Antichrist does not like you to have guns. You know, all these idiots out there, the millennials that are all for communism and gun control and taking all the guns away from, you know, they have no clue. You know, they don't know. Somehow they don't know what they should know, is that before Stalin killed his 20 million people, he first disarmed the people. Yeah, he first disarmed them. Once he had them disarmed, then he could murder them all. And he did. You know, the same thing with the Inquisitions. You know, it's what the Romans did to the Jews. You know, they couldn't have taken them if they weren't disarmed, if they had an army. You know, so we don't want to give up our arms. So I'm happy that that Americans now have more guns than ever. that gun ownership has actually gone up another 200% in this century alone in America. So you know, we got three times as many guns that we in the hands of Americans than we had at the beginning of this since the turn of the, what do you call it, the millennium, since the year 2000. And that's a comforting thing for me, you know, at least for us here in America. And America does need some judgment, at least to wake some people up and bring people back to, you know, to some right thinking, to repentance. So if we need some hard times to bring that about, then, you know, so be it. That's what I say. And I think that with this cash thing that's going on that we talked about in the first hour, the disappearing cash, it may be a harbinger of things to come. You know, it may be that they're really going to try to pull this thing off in the next 10 years to bring about that one world monetary system where everyone is required to worship the beast or its image or the Antichrist himself some way. Excuse me. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all when we see that the effect that the three frog spirits are having in America and over the whole world. I mean, we can't single out America. It's everywhere. Antiquity says the Jesuits are persistent. They've learned all the tricks over 500 years. They've had their setbacks. Even in their setbacks, they moved forward. You know, the Jesuits were suppressed about the same time that they moved into America. They were suppressed in Western Europe. Where did they come? They came to America. What did they institute? Well, they tried to institute the Constitution without the Bill of Rights. But, you know, the Americans weren't going for it. The Constitution seemed like a really good idea. And it was, except for a few bits of poison in there. One bit of poison was the 10-mile square set apart for an international city that is controlled by the Antichrist, Washington, D.C. That's called a concentration of power. And the Jesuits wanted that concentration of power so bad. And that was the whole reason. If they had to give us, you know, 90% of good things in the Constitution that sounded good and that would work well, and which have worked well, which have served the nation well, but that little bit of poison about concentrating power, they figured, well, we can overthrow the rest of that liberty and all of that stuff that we had to concede to these stupid Protestants. If we can concentrate power, we can overthrow the concessions that we made. That's the Jesuit thinking, because they think long term. And then they tried to get their central banks in, the Jesuit bankers, the Vatican bankers, you know, they tried to get their, we fought that. Well, of course, it took them over 100 years to get their Vatican, to get their central bank in with the Federal Reserve Act. And so now what do we have? We have a one world Antichrist monetary system built on the back of the dollar. The Federal Reserve currency, the first world reserve currency, belongs to the Antichrist and his shadow government. And that's not good enough for them. They want, because everyone identifies that, that's American money, but it's not. It's pretend American money. Because American money was gold and silver, and every citizen owned their money. See, that was part of the liberty of America. That was part of the liberty that made America great, that brought about the riches that the Vatican and their bankers stole from us in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. They stole our money. They stole it all from us. Oh, you still had your money in your pockets, but now they own the money. That was the coup. I call it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. It was actually an Antichrist shadow government coup of the U.S. Treasury, because when they owned the money, they owned it all. They owned all your property and everything, because it's all denominated in dollars. Now they just had to remove the silver and the gold. And they did that. Immediately they took the gold. They left the silver, but they immediately made it unlawful. They passed an unconstitutional law confiscating the gold from the people. They stole our money. That's right. See, the Antichrist doesn't give up. They think long term. So you're right. The Jesuits, they were, but they went to work. They may have been suppressed in Europe, but hey, the Americans didn't know about their tricks, did they? Obviously not. But we did get that Bill of Rights. That was helpful. We got the Bill of Rights and all of the good parts of the Constitution. And unfortunately, they've been overturning it and overturning it and ripping it away. I mean, it's kind of a joke to watch someone like Nancy Pelosi get up there and pretend to love the Constitution and want to stand by it. And they break the Constitution every day. You know, they don't keep that oath. If everyone in government actually went to jail and got prosecuted for violating their oath of the Constitution, guess what? There would probably be like two people standing in the entire government. Yeah, so we can't even do that anymore. See, because when you own the money, you can buy everybody. Or you can have a Jeffrey Epstein ranch where you compromise everybody and you can blackmail them all. Yes, that's a Jesuit operation too. Believe me, that's a shadow government Jesuit operation. And sorry, no, Rick Wiles, it's not, you know, a Zionist thing. The Zionist operation is run by the Antichrist shadow government. That's one of his operations. He has all of these operations to give him layer upon layer of plausible deniability, and you're going for it. The world is going for it. The Antichrist, layer upon layer of plausible deniability, and everybody believes it. Even though all of the evidence is out there, antiquity knows about it. They've learned their tricks. Over 500 years, this shadow government has existed and worked for the Antichrist, and they never stopped, even when they were suppressed by one of the Maos, one of the Antichrist tried to, they killed him. They killed that one pope that suppressed them. And of course, guess what happened with his replacement? He brought him right back in. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is Prophecy Reality. This is one of the only places you're going to get it. Okay. I'm Nicholas. Need your support at firstamendmentradio.com. Go there and send us a check every month. We would prefer that. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Hear it first on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition on December 25th, 2019. And we're coming on the year 2020. And what a year it's been. Been a lot of fun. A lot of challenges in the year. I'm sure there's some people out there that are going to do some great rears and review, as they usually do. We're talking about monetary system, how cash is disappearing. And I know it's disappearing for me. I have a lot less of it than I used to, even a year ago, especially 5 years ago. It seems like I had a lot more cash in my pocket. I have a lot less now. I have a lot less support for the work I'm doing here for First Amendment Radio and Prophecy Reality. So I do need your support. So if you're giving to Benny Hinn or John Hoagie or any of those big mega ministries out there, you know, if you're giving them $1,000 a month, stop it. Yeah, please stop giving them money, and just give me half of that. Give the rest to buy some gold and silver with it, because you may need it in the years to come, especially if you're not going to take the mark of the beast. See, we have a nation full of slaves. Everybody thinks that slavery is a thing of the past, but it's not, because slaves have no money. Slaves don't own their money, and you don't own your money. I'm sorry. I don't care how many Federal Reserve dollars you have on you. I don't care how many you have in the bank. Yeah, I'm with you, Corporate. He says, I'd rather give to Benny Hill than Benny Hinn. Yeah, I see that, but First Amendment Radio needs a lot more than either of those guys. They're already filthy rich. Yeah, they have their reward. We'll just put it that way. Anyway, where was I going? Yeah, throw me off course there. Let's see, to continue having a Jesuit-run CIA, Catholic in Action, conduct false flags or conduct false flag mass shootings in an unrelenting bid to manipulate, deceive people to support gun seizure. Yeah, sorrowful to witness this in plain view. Absolutely. I agree. But there's nothing we can do about that. The only thing we can do is to continue to spread the gospel and share the truth with as many people as we can. And I was talking about owning our own money, how we have a nation of slaves, and everyone thinks that slavery is a thing of the past. They used to say, I owe my soul to the company store. And there used to be these entrepreneurs, these guys who had big companies, a lot of money, and they would hire people, but all the wages they made, they would owe to the company store because they didn't have enough money to buy stuff. So they'd go to the company store. They wouldn't make enough money, so they'd have to borrow from the company store. So they end up owning everything to the company store. The company store housed them and fed them. And so they had to pay their rent out of their wages. And the saying came about, I owe my soul to the company store. I think that's part of a song. And so they were basically slaves, by design. You know, not that they were purchased and bought like slaves on a slave market, you know, that worked on a plantation, but they were slaves that were entrapped, you know, by design. They were trapped into slavery. And that's what America is. You know, in 1913, when the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury for the Antichrist shadow government got a hold of our monetary system, they now own the money. And we used to be a free people because we owned our money. When you don't own your money, you don't own anything, because money is used to purchase everything. Everything has got loans against it, but who owns the loans? Who owns the money? You know, they don't. When you go to the bank and borrow money to buy a house, you know, you aren't borrowing the money from your neighbor or from somebody who put money and worked hard like it used to be before when we owned our own money. Actually, the government needed to collect taxes. But you notice when the government needed money, they didn't collect that much. You know, I mean, 20% would seem outrageous. And, you know, they collected excise and tariffs and those kind of taxes, you know, but because there was no direct tax allowed by the Constitution. Oh, the Antichrist hated that one. You know, because if you can't run an inquiry into the finances of each individual, well, you can't control the people. That's why the Antichrist hates not having that income tax. They had to get that. And it took them, you know, what, 150 years to, it took until World War II really to enforce the income tax. Because the income tax, when it was passed, okay, and then it was challenged by the, and it, I guess it went to the Supreme Court and they challenged it. And the government says, oh, well, the income tax, it imposes no new tax because it wasn't on individuals, but it was only on corporations and incorporated companies. Okay. So it wasn't on individuals. So they were collecting taxes on businesses, right? Not on individuals. Not until World War II. Then it became patriotic, you know, to support the war effort. And of course, after that, it became mandatory. In no short time, within 20 years, it was now mandatory. You know, the law never changed. You know, they just kept making up laws that for the people that were volunteering. Now, once we got you, we have a social contract. If you violate our social contract, we'll prosecute you. And that's basically what's been going on here. You know, social contracts are enforceable by law if you can make a case. And apparently they made their case, you know, with the courts. And of course, yeah, they pay all the judges too. And now all the judges, yeah, it gets pretty tricky. But, you know, that's why they attack anybody. I mean, the whole patriot movement back in the 80s, 90s of the last century, they had to put that to death. And they did, you know, burn down a few compounds and murder a few people, and everybody gets in line. That's right. And then they, you know, call them bad names and accuse them of things they didn't do that are very egregious. And, well, they take care of it that way. Yes, the corporate is true. It says that naturally the businesses and corporations simply raise their prices to pay the taxes. And they did. So you think about it. When people own the money, the taxes were low. But see, the thing is, once they gain control, they want to keep raising them and take more and more. Because what they're really stealing is your labor. And if you don't own your labor, because that was the thought, you can't tax people directly because their labor is a gift from God. And you can't tax a gift from God. And it's a gift from God to the people, their labor and their life. Is their soul, your soul is your life. And so that was the whole idea behind that liberty of there being no direct taxes. And that's what it means in the, you know, and the Constitution still stands. They never overthrew or rewrote that part of the Constitution or amended it in any way with them. There's nothing that says, we now can have a direct tax on the people. You know, there's nothing like that. It's still against the law, but you see what that concentration of power in Washington, D.C. accomplished. And that's the far-reaching, long view that the Antichrist has, because the Antichrist has been around for 1,260 years, 1,300 years, 1,400 years. Perhaps, you know, if their 1,260 years ended at the same time we got our Constitution here, well, add to that, you know, another 150 years. And that's how long the Antichrist has been around. You know, he had his overt temporal reign in the Western Europe for 1,260 years. And then that wound has been healed. And the Antichrist is doing very well, but become very wise. Doesn't want, like I said, layer upon layer of plausible deniability. Zionism, Freemasonryism, Illuminati, the CIA, you name it. It goes on and on. You know, all of the Jesuit universities, the Department of Education, you know, when you control the money, you buy it all. You own it all. And they took the wealth of America. They've robbed us in 1913. They robbed America. They stole every American's money from them, and they turned us all into slaves. That is our judgment. That is a judgment upon America. And our slavery keeps getting deeper and deeper. I mean, at least, you know, until we can still hold on to some cash. You know, it's not our money, but we can hold on to it. We can hold it in our hand. But with digital, which is what he really wants, all of it digital, and, you know, here it is right here, the economists get ready, you know, for a world currency. That was it. That's what they want. All digital, one world currency under the image of the beast, the United Nations, the New World Order. Let's say it. New World Order. Not the Old World Order, but the New World Order. But the same guy in charge, the Antichrist. See, in the Old World, during his 1,260-year reign, the Antichrist ruled in the Old World, because basically that was the world. But the New World, in his rebirth, he operates from the New World. Washington, D.C., New York City, where his image of the beast stands, the United Nations. It is an image of the government that the Antichrist controlled and ruled for 1,260 years. It's an image of that. Okay? That's what it is. It's an image of a world governing authority. Now it's domiciled in the New World in New York City, and it rules the whole world. That's the object. The United Nations is an Antichrist shadow government project. Don't even doubt it for a minute. It was all foretold, and there's really nothing we can do about it except for live our own lives according to God's will and wake up as many people as we can, the elect. We don't know who they are. We can't decide whether someone's elect or not. All we can do is go around and find out. Shake them a little bit. Are you elect? Will you respond to the gospel? Well, does Jesus' blood, does it cover your sins? Will you be resurrected on the great day of God Almighty to return with him, to conquer evil and to rule the world for 1,000 years? Do you have hope? Do you want hope? No, most people don't, unfortunately. They're happy with what they have. It's enough for them to enjoy the pleasures of this life for a season. And a lot of them believe lies, like they'll get to go to purgatory and pay it off. And eventually they'll get to go to heaven and be with, you know, float in the ether with Jesus and the angels. You know, that's the Catholic lie of purgatory. That's what the Antichrist is selling you. And I don't think he believes it himself. Yeah. He certainly doesn't act like it. He doesn't believe in creationism. He believes in evolution. And now he's just ignoring the Bible altogether. At least this Jesuit Pope is. Yeah. Just bringing them all in. It's, you know, the Antichrist wants every religion in the world under him. He wants them all to worship the beast or its image or him directly. It doesn't matter to him which one. And what is the mark of the beast? Is it a number? Well, I believe that the financial number, you know, it says that you'll need a number to buy or sell. So if there's a number you need to buy or sell, well, I would be wary of that. That's why I rejected the social security number. I said, well, you know, this smacks too close to the mark of the beast, and here it is. It wasn't here before, you know, the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. It came on, you know, quickly in the last century. When you compare that with whatever the last 1,000 years, that's pretty quick. And now everyone in the world has a identifying number that, and they're all, you know, what do you call it? They're all treated by treaty. They're all together now. All of those, monetary identifications of all those different countries are by treaty the same thing. Now that's exactly how the Jesuit shadow government that works for the Antichrist would run that operation. I mean, how would you expect it? You read the Bible? Come on, all of you futurists out there. It's time to stop being ignorant and realize the Antichrist has been with us all along. And that, yes, he's not hiding, and you can know who he is. And no, it's not. There's no 7-year tribulation where you're going to be raptured away from while something else happens on earth. Some different dispensation for the Jews, that the Jews get saved without Jesus or something, because Jesus and the church and the Holy Ghost are going to be in heaven having a banquet or a party or something for 7 years, you know, while everyone on earth is suffering without the Holy Ghost, and the Jews are performing animal sacrifices in a temple waiting for the Antichrist to go in there and proclaim himself to be God, you know. That's a fantasy, you know. That's not in the Bible. That's only in futurist writings. You know, get my book, the name of my book. Then I wrote it especially for dispensational futurists, and that is when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin, and you'll get an idea of how this thing is going to run down. I expect, you know, that sometime in the next decade, they will begin to build a temple-type building over there. They'll call it a temple, whether it is, whether they have animal sacrifice, because part of the script is that they won't be able to have animal sacrifice, that they're going to put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week or something. So maybe they'll start it, or maybe they'll have it planned, but then say no, they'll squash it in the middle of the week or something. Somehow they'll fit it into their script. But everyone, when they start building the temple, yeah, and when nobody's raptured, they're just going to say, you know, it's diabolical when you think about it. How this doctor, only Satan could come up with this thing, you know, that there's going to be a rapture 7 years and you can't know who the Antichrist is until it happens. And then nobody's raptured. They start building the temple. That's the kickoff point. That's the one they're not going to be able to wiggle out of. You know, the rapture has to happen based on when they start to build that temple, when there's an agreement and they start building that temple and nobody's raptured. You know, this is the diabolical part. When nobody's raptured, they can't say, well, it's not true, because then you have to wait 3.5 years because they've made it multiple choice to begin with. So they're going to drag it out for 3.5 years because you didn't get raptured. They go, oh, see, the mid-tribulationist, that's the correct position. You know, we didn't really know, but now we know it wasn't pre-trib, it's mid-trib. So they're going to wait 3.5 years, and then 4 years are going to go by, 5. No one's going to be raptured at 3.5 years either. You know, but that's fine. Like, this is the diabolical part of this whole scheme, is that, you know, you've got to be put off for another 3.5 years. They're going to say it's post-trib. Jesus is coming, the rapture is going to be, sorry about that, but you know, God changed his mind. You know, it wasn't plan A or B. We're going with plan C. That's, you know, but there is, you know, now if you're a Reformed Christian, there's no plan B anywhere. It was all already done and created, and God already saw the beginning from the end. Just because you're stuck in the middle here somewhere and you can't see the end doesn't mean that God didn't see it already. Otherwise, how could he have wrote about it in advance? There is no plan B. Everything that has happened was God's plan to begin with. And he said, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. That's the plan. It's all written down in the Bible. Everything it says in the book will come to pass. The word of God will stand. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. So there's no multiple choice raptures. There's none of the raptures, because even after they build the temple, 7 years later, the Antichrist is going to stand up. And he's going to say, the new world order is here. That I am the fulfillment of the millennial reign of Christ. And now we are ushering in the millennium of peace forever and a world without end, something like that. You can count on it that the Antichrist will stand up. He's not going to go into the temple in the middle of the week. You can find out that was all wrong too. You know, it's all in my book here. It's a little book. It's like 11 point type. Little more than 100 pages, very easy to read and understand. You know, it's got some charts in the back to tell about what year is it. And, you know, read it, you know, pray about it. You can get it for free by going to my website, crosstheborder.org. Go to the free ebook tab there and follow the instructions and you'll get your free PDF or EPUB version of the book. Sorry, I can't send you a print version, but you can buy one there if you want one, because I don't have a printing press and I'm just a poor boy, okay? I can't afford the paper, ink, and stuff like that, and postage. But I'll give you a free e-copy, all right? So make sure you do that. Crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com and click on the free ebook tab there and make sure, and spread it around, you know? I mean, well, part, that's what I ask you to do, is post it on your, in order to get a free e-copy, I just ask you to post it on your Facebook or email it to somebody else. You don't have to prove it to me. Just, you know, why would you lie? You're getting a free book. Or call your uncle on the phone and tell him to go to firstamendmentradio.com or crosstheborder.org and check it out. You know, just share it somehow. The more sure people you share it with, the better for the work that we're doing here. Okay. I think I've just run out of time. Well, thank you all for showing up today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way leads to life. Please keep your eye on the prize. The kingdom of God is where you need to be.